chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to be hurrying our way through as we read verses 3 and 4 today. What I wanted to get through last week and didn't. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for these examples of faith. Lord, thank you for the examples of the outworking of faith that we see in Hebrews 11. And as we go through that chapter, we're going to see over and over and over and over, Lord God, how faith produces something. Father, faith is not stagnant. Faith never has been stagnant. Lord God, when we have faith in you, when you give us faith, because your word says we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of you. So Father, through that faith that comes from your gift, there's produced in our life actions. There's produced in our life attitudes. There's produced in our life gifts. Everything that is good and righteous that comes from us, Father, is a gift of yours. And it comes through faith. It comes through what we've already defined, Lord, in your word. Thank you so much for that gift. It's the priceless gift that you have given us. We praise you. Help us, Father, to follow through with that faith and utilize it in our life, to live it out, so that others might see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. We love you, Father. I ask that you would teach us this morning from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As we get into this, I want to remind you where we come in Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews wants to help the people. The people there are, it's a church setting, most likely second generation Christians. And some of them want to go back under a religious system, under the religious system that they used to have, that their parents used to have, the Judaistic system. They want to do that because there's persecution happening. And the writer is simply telling them, look, Christ is superior. Christ is superior. The new covenant is superior to that old covenant. That old covenant, excuse me, it involved the prophets and involved the angels and Moses. And he says, Christ is superior to all those, even to Abraham, their father of the nation. So he gets into that, and then he says, well, the real problem is unbelief. We find that out in chapter 6. Unbelief is the real problem. And so he's working all his way through to try and show them to follow, to try and tell them or convince them to follow through and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We get up to chapter 8, and he compares the old covenant with the new, and we see how much better the new is. It's got a better sacrifice. It's got better promises. We get all the way up here and through chapter 10. We get to chapter 11 and he gives some examples of faith. So what we looked at last week, we looked at the first couple verses. We looked at a definition of faith. Now I want to just reiterate that real quick. In verse 1, it says, now faith is the assurance or the settlement. Remember we talked about that. That pounded down earth where you would build something upon that rock, that settlement. It's the settlement of things hoped for, the conviction or the proof, the evidence that you would bring in a court of law, that proof of things not seen. And this is how the men of old gained approval. Now, that's what we're going to start looking through today. Excuse me. And as we go on, the men of old gain in approval, and the word gain approval is martyrion, it's a witness. This is how they witnessed. This is how their life witnessed the truth. The examples that he's giving are the ones where these folks who weren't believing wanted to go back under the religious system that involved them. They wanted to go back under the religious system that involved Abel and involved Abraham and involved all the people that we're going to be talking about. But what the writer's trying to do is show them that they had faith. They had faith. And what these folks needed was to have that faith. And he is strengthening the faith of those who already believed. What we're going to look at today is how we see faith, how we see it. And that's what we're going to look at as we go on through chapter 11. But we're going to look at verses 3 and 4 today. And in verse 3, we're going to start off with creation. How we see faith in creation. Verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. By faith. When it says by faith, we're not talking about a verb. We're not talking about how much you believe, okay? But we're talking about the fact of belief, the substance of belief. That faith, that assurance and conviction. Remember those two words, assurance and conviction. You might have substance and evidence or something like that, but in your Bibles. But it's the assurance, it's the sediment of what we hope for in Christ, in God. It's the absolute proof of what we cannot see. So we look at that and we say, okay, well, let's look at creation, because faith is the key here. It's the essence of belief or trust. And he says, by faith we understand. Now, the word understand there, it's not the word know, you know, like we have always talked about gnosko, where we grow in knowledge. That's not the word. And it's not that word oida, where it means that we have that intuitive knowledge. But it's the word nuos, or nueo. And it's in the present tense, which means it's happening, it's in the active voice. So it's something that's happening. So by faith, we are understanding. And the word understanding means to perceive or to gain insight into something, to comprehend or to consider something very well. It's the true insight into the real truth that comes through trusting what God says. And you know, this word is never used of just something we see physically. It's never used of that. But it's used of something, an inward perception of what we see physically. Okay? So it's an inward perception of what you see physically. Now, the best way I can use to describe that is the Bible, when the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And I'll use that verse later too. The earth shows his handiwork, the firmament showeth its handiwork. Because you look at the heavens and you say, well, that can't have just happened. That can't have just happened. And we'll talk about that. But that's what that word means, to comprehend inwardly, that inward perception or perception of what you can see, what is visible. So it's out of faith. This substance of faith, or this noun, faith, this subject faith, that we understand, we perceive that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. And when it says the worlds, literally, the word is aionios. It's the word we get ages from. Whenever you see in Scripture where it says forever and forever, those words are aionios into aionios. So it's the ages into the ages. And so it's not specifically talking about this world and some other world he created and put people on and some other world he created. No, that's not what he's talking about. But he's talking about, it's really interesting what he says here, because he's talking about planets. Obviously, you know, the world, Saturn, Venus, all the planets, the stars, the sun, the moon. He's talking about those type of things. The ages also, the universe, the world's system. He's talking about space. He's talking about the inner workings of everything. I read one place, if I can find it here. I believe it was Alfred. Alfred is a very astute Greek scholar, and he says that this expression includes in it all that exists under the conditions of time and space, together with those conditions of time and space themselves. conditions which do not bind God and did not exist independently of God, but are themselves the work of His Word. So we're not just talking about the worlds that you see, but you're talking about space, you're talking about time, you're talking about months, about minutes. How did all that come about? It came about as we understand, as we perceive, as we delve into this, all of that came about by what? What's it say? It says the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. So faith is that substance that says, you know what, the world's this whole age system, the time, the all of this, the seasons are all prepared by the Word of God. And the word prepared, it's in the perfect tense. We're completely, totally prepared, but what's fun is it's in the passive voice, which means that the worlds didn't just happen by themselves. That would have been in the middle voice. If it was in the middle voice, then the worlds would have prepared themselves, would have happened themselves. But it's not. It's in the passive voice. So God did it. God did it. It didn't just happen. The worlds didn't just come into happen to being. The planets didn't. Time didn't. All of that didn't just come into being. In fact, that word prepared, it means to create or to make adequate. So God made it adequate. And it means to fit out something so that it fulfills what it's fit out for. To make something so it fulfills what it's made for. So God didn't just make things and say, okay, go to it. All right, I've made the world, I've made space, I've made the sun, the moon, and the stars, and just go, let's just see what happens. Let's see what happens. Let's put them out there and see what happens. Oh, look, man came about. No, that's not what happened. He did it purposefully. He made these things purposefully for a purpose so that they would accomplish that purpose. That's creation. And we understand that who have faith that what God said is true, because look what happened. Look at what it says. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by what? By the Word of God. So in other words, and that word there, we have the word logos in the New Testament, which is in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Logos, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14 says, the Word became flesh. That's the word Logos. But this is the word Logos here. This is the word Rhema. And Rhema means the spoken word, what is said. So all of this happened. The whole creation. Time happened. Minutes, hours. Air happened, but we can't even see air. Air happened. Mountains happened. Water happened. All of it happened by God saying that it should happen, by His speaking it, that it should happen. How do we know that? It is by faith. That's this assurance. That's this conviction. And when God said, let there be light, there was light. When He said, let there be animals, there was animals. It happened. And look what it says. Keep going. So that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. In order that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. What is seen? Well, the world is seen. The sun, we can see that. We can see the stars. We can see the moon. We can't see time, but we see the effects of time. But you know what? All of those were created not out of what was seen. So God didn't remake things. He didn't say, you know what? Yeah, there's a ball here. I think I'll make it a sun. I'll just expand it. I'll just heat it up and make it a sun. And I'll make it great big. He didn't remake anything. He said it. And it became so. And the word not there is very emphatic. No, not seen or not made. It says so that what was seen was not, absolutely not made. And the word made is to bring about, or it even means to be born. And that's in the perfect tense. Completely, totally made out of what was seen, out of what was visible. So when God spoke, He spoke it and it came into existence. That's our God. That's the God that we have. You know, when mankind wants to try and disprove God, what does he use? Science, right? uses science, that wonderful thing where you have to prove everything. Well, the problem here is you can't create something out of nothing. That goes against science, right? So that obviously discounts God. You can't create something out of nothing. And by the way, they've come up with, scientists have over the years have come up with hundreds and hundreds of theories on our existence, on how things became true. And evolution is just one of them. It's just one of them. But the problem with science is that you must be able to reproduce the results in a lab, or you must be able to be an eyewitness of it. And as far as I know, none of you were eyewitnesses of creation, were you? And it's really hard to reproduce that in a lab, isn't it? Can't do it. So the issues with science, that's the science itself, that's the law of science. You have to be able to do those things to prove it. The questions in science can only go so far. Even the evolutionists, you go back, the questions go back, well, how'd that get going? Well, how'd that get going? Well, how'd that get going? And you finally get to the place where you say, I don't know. I don't know. So even an evolutionist has to have faith. They have to have faith in their theories. In fact, I think they have a lot more faith than we do. They have to. But I talked to a gal one time, a gal that was going to college, and she was wanting to be an atheist really bad. And I was talking to her, and she said, well, what about evolution? And I said, okay, well, let's start there. I said, okay, let's look at Peking man. Let's look at Neanderthal man. I said, and by the way, how come there's one bone found instead of billions and billions of skeletons? Billions and billions of fossils of these half man, half apes, or half, you know, on their way. I said, if they could come up with dinosaur bones, I said, why can't they? Why? So we went into all the issues, and I finally said, look, if you want to be an atheist, you're going to have a lot of faith. You're going to have a lot of faith that what people say is true rather than what God says is true. So by faith, we understand, we perceive, we consider well the fact that God said it and it happened. He said it and it happened. So we basically have that. And by the way, I kind of like the Big Bang Theory. He said it and bang, it happened. It's true. Boom, here it was. He said, let there be light. Boom, there was light. And you know what the fun thing is? He didn't create the sun until a few days after that. So anyway, that's all sorts of fun questions. But anyway, the writer is trying to help these people. He's trying to help them see that they already have faith, because these folks that he's writing to, they understood. They believed in creation, that God created things. All right? So he's trying to help them see, okay, faith is the absolute assurance, the fact, the sediment on what you on what you're hoped for, that God is in control. That's the sediment that he is in control. So you already have this. Creation, by faith, you're saying, by faith this is true, that God, when God said it, it happened. You're already saying that. And all of the people that we're going to be talking about have said that. So he's given them a practical insight into faith right here, but he goes on and talks about how it applies in their life. Let's look at Abel. Because these people, they needed to go on and believe in Christ. They needed to have the faith in Christ, not just that God created the world, but they needed to go on and believe in Christ. Because God said, what did God say? He would send a redeemer, right? And those sacrificial systems, he's already gone over and over and over them in Hebrews, that those sacrificial systems were a picture that pointed to Christ. So he's trying to establish the fact that they have a foundation, they have something set, they need to go on and finish it. Look at verse 4. Because here we're going to look at Abel. We've already looked at creation, how we see faith in creation, now how we see it in Abel. And this is a fascinating study. This guy is amazing. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, the essence of faith in Abel, he offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Now, Abel was the second born. He was a second born son. Cain was the oldest. Abel was second. But if you, and I want you, as we're going through chapter 11, I want you to watch the progression, because we go from a basic faith all the way to more complex as we go. But here we're talking about a basic faith. He offered to God something. Now, this offering didn't produce faith. Excuse me, I wanted to sneeze really bad. I'm trying not to. This offering didn't produce faith, but it showed his faith. The offering was because of his faith. It says here he offered a better sacrifice. He offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. The truth about what chapter 11 is talking about is going to be seen here, and it's going to be seen in everyone afterwards. That faith will always produce something. Faith is going to produce something. It's not how we judge that something, but it's how God moves in us to produce that something. And we can't judge others. We don't judge others' faith by their actions. We simply see their faith by their actions. We don't judge their faith by what they... Because God uses us different. He uses different people in different ways. But I want to read a section out of James. James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. It says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister was without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what's necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons believe that, and they shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless?" And he goes on and gives more. I don't want to keep going into it. But I want you to see that. I want you to see, even in the New Testament, it talks about faith, but it doesn't talk about stagnant faith. We're not called to a stagnant faith. Faith produces something in life. And with Abel, it produced something. Here he offered a better sacrifice. Well, how was it better? Well, it was for sins. It was a sacrifice for sins. We know that because it was a blood offering. So what happened here? Well, at some point, God, either in and of himself or through Adam, told Cain and Abel to bring sacrifices. This is in Genesis chapter 4, 3 through 5. It says, "So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought from the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became angry and his countenance fell." And then God asks him why he's angry, and he says, "Oh, it's your fault." Anyway, he kills his brother. So he says, sin's crouching at the door. And guess what? It was crouching at the door. But the fact is, God told them to bring an offering, to bring some sacrifice. So in their worship, they knew to bring a sacrifice. And Abel brought a blood sacrifice, which apparently was commanded, because that's the one that God had regard for. Cain brought what he thought would be really good, because he tended the fields. Cain was a gardener. He tended the fields. Abel was he took care of animals. He took care of the flock. So Abel brought what he thought. Cain brought what he thought. But I think somehow, at some point, God explained to them what to bring, either through Adam or through God, because he had no regard for the fruit. Even though it was probably a great sacrifice, even though to Cain it was the most beautiful thing in the world. But you see, Cain wanted to worship and wanted to sacrifice in his own way, with what he thought was best. And Abel went with what God said. See that? He went with what God said. So the picture that Abel had was much greater than what Cain had. I mean, there was a blood sacrifice, which showed later that Christ was coming. All right? That Christ would lay down his life. So somehow they knew. And Abel obtained the what's it say? By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony. Now, look at that word testimony, that he was righteous. God testifying, that's that same word, about his gifts. Right? That word there is found back in chapter in verse 2 of this chapter. For by it, faith, the men of old, martyrion, had that witness. They had the witness that they were qualified because of faith, not because of what they did. And here it's the same word. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the witness, the approval, the speak well of, literally, he obtained that witness from God that he was righteous. Was it because of the sacrifice that he bought? No. Let's just start off with faith. By faith. He brought that sacrifice because of faith. He was shown to be righteous, or he was called righteous by God because of faith. Not because of the sacrifice, but because of faith. Because he took what God said to be from God. You see that? Because whatever God told them, he listened to that and he did it God's way rather than his own way. And Cain did it the way he thought would be right or best or whatever. And it wasn't, because it wasn't what God said. So Abel obtained that. Now I want you to think about this for a minute. Because Abel was the first, well, Cain and Abel, they were the first men who could really truly have faith. You think about Adam, and I'm sure Adam and Eve had faith, but not like Abel. Because Adam walked with God, remember, in the garden? He talked with God. He listened to God. He saw what God did. He saw the evidence of God right there. So when he fell, he knew what to go back to. Abel didn't have that. Abel had to have faith without sight. So his faith was more like what we have to have. Faith without something that you saw and that you talked to God about. Now, obviously, they had conversations somehow with God, but we don't know that we know that it wasn't like Adam, who walked with God. He learned from him, he saw from him, he knew him. And Abel had to believe what he didn't see, or had not experienced to that point. But Cain didn't have that faith. He wanted to worship his own way. So the witness was that he was righteous because of the faith, because of his faith, that what God desired was the best. That was Abel's witness. God witnessed about these gifts. And he did it, what's it say? Testifying about his gifts, that through faith, through the agency of faith, that substance there, though he is dead physically, he still speaks. His witness goes on. What God says about him goes on. How does he speak? Well, number one, he spoke through the ground, because God said to Cain, "Where's your brother?" And he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" He says, "The ground's crying out. The blood of Abel's crying out." So there he's speaking. He speaks through his, excuse me. He speaks through his sacrifice, because his sacrifice was a blood sacrifice, what showed that the Redeemer was coming, what even Adam had to give eventually after he had fallen. But it was also through his witness, through God's witness of him, through what he did, because that speaks to us. It's for us to follow. How do we follow Abel's faith? Well, we follow by doing what God desires, what God says, what we know of in God's word. And it's all by faith. So why? Why is this so important? Well, we're going to learn it next week. All right? That comes. I didn't have time this week, but that comes next week, next several verses. But study creation. Think about creation. Because what you're going to see is the heavens really do declare the glory of God. The earth, the firmament, shows his handiwork. It really does. You really dig into creation. And you cannot you cannot come to any other true, steadfast conclusion besides there had to be God to begin it. Had to be God at the beginning. Because every scientific explanation you can have keeps going back and back and back to the place where they cannot say definitively, yeah, it started from this glob of glue. This glob of, it's not glue, is it? It's goo. Glob of goo. You know, and it exploded, and then all of a sudden we have our perfectly running universe. Okay, well, there's a few holes in that. But look back at it. Look at the first man who had to exercise a faith like we have, faith in something that he hopes for and cannot see. Look at that illustration. God called him righteous because of his faith. Same kind of faith that God has given you and me at salvation. Folks, if you haven't trusted Christ, you can have that faith also. It says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. And he gives it at salvation, but he continues on with it. And faith builds. You go to Peter. I don't remember if it was first or second Peter, but it's kind of like a ladder. Add to your faith this, and add to this, this, and add to this, this, and add to this, this. And if you don't, then you're short-sighted. You're blind. That's the Christians there, adding to our faith, building faith that way. And this right here is an example of building faith. By faith, we know that God said it, it happened. And what God continues to say is happening. Folks, in the Word, we have what God says. Believe it. Trust it. Believe, trust, faith. All the same word, pisteo. Believe, trust, faith. All of those, the exact same word throughout the New Testament. Take what God said, and just like Abel, say, you know what? God said it. That's what I want. That's what I want to do. You can have that kind of faith. It's a faith where at the end of our life, we come before God and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my rest. Your righteousness doesn't come from what you do. What's the scripture say? Our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. You do righteous deeds because of the faith that God has given you. Live it out. Depend on your Father. He will never, never abandon you. He will never, never, never forsake you. We're going to learn that. That's at the end of Hebrews. But if you haven't trusted in Christ, please take the consideration of what he says to be true. Go on in your faith. Go on to full faith in Jesus Christ, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. I'd love to show you from Scripture how you can have that relationship. If you have trusted in Christ, then depend on him. Depend on him. Yeah, you'll come up with rough patches. Yeah, you're going to have questions. You're going to have all sorts of questions. But what God said happens. If God says it, it's true. Just like he said, let there be light. And there was light. Didn't even create the sun yet, but there was light. Let there be animals. There were animals of every kind. He said it, and he didn't make it out of something he already had to work with. He said it, and it happened. That's the kind of God you have. Same kind of God where we cry out in pain and in problems to him, and he says it, and it happens. Trust that God. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that we can have that type of faith. At salvation, we get that faith, and not only that, but we grow in that faith. Lord God, and that faith produces actions in our life. It's not a stagnant faith. And yeah, we don't want anybody looking at us, but we want to look at everybody else and say, oh, well, they're not really doing the right thing, therefore they don't have faith. Father God, that's not where we're to judge. But we look at the good deeds and we say, you know what? God can produce that. Father God, we rejoice when others see our good deeds and glorify you. Because anything truly righteous, anything truly right, comes from you and your heart, not us. Not us and our hearts. Father God, As much as we want to be truly righteous, we're not. But you are. And Lord God, Jesus lives within us and produces things in our life. Look at Abel. Abel came and offered the right sacrifice because you told him what the right sacrifice. And he believed it. And he followed through with it because he had faith, because you had already blessed him with that. Thank you, Lord God, that we can build on our faith. But Father, I pray that each one here would know that they would have faith, and Lord God, that they would be open to you using that faith, that firm foundation of things that we hope for, that conviction of things we can't even see, using that in our life to produce your truth in front of others, that they might see and glorify you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.